Paul writes to Timothy, and he speaks of those who are taken captive by Satan at his will. And he's talking about church people. He's talking about people that come to church, that make promises, that make pledges, that make commitments, that say everything they're told to say, that try everything they're given to do. And they go good for a period of time. And it's like one day Satan says, okay, I'm ready to yank their chain. I'm ready to pull their string. You know, that's how they do a puppet. That puppet, he's there like that, and he just finds that someone pulls his string. And there he goes. And the Scripture says they're taken captive by Satan at his will. They got everything under control until he decides differently. And the shame of it is you see that often. You see that all over the church world. We used to call it the religious cycle. You know, the religious circle. Someone out in darkness and bitterness and sin, and then they get sick of themselves, they get tired of it, then they're going to do better, they get in, they repent, they tell God, or they tell other people they're sorry, they're going to do better, they're going to try harder, so they really mean it, they're going to try harder, they're going to make it this time. How many ever told God, I'm going to make it this time? Did you? When you told God, I'm going to make it this time, I'm going to make it this time. When I hear those words, I know they're not going to make it because they don't see how you make it. But I'm going to make it this time. And they don't. They never do. And so they're going to do it. They're those spiritual in the church for about 3 weeks. And then they crest the hill. And you know how it is? You get that cart over the hill and you're just barely over the hill, and then it starts to move. It starts to move, and pretty soon it's flying full speed. Speed down, and they're back in the mess. They're in the sin and the darkness and the bitterness and the dispute and the fighting and the backbiting and the bitterness, and they're over God now. They're over it all, and they're going to do their old thing until they get sick of themselves again. You ever got sick of yourself? They get sick of themselves again, and then they start saying, okay, I need to go to church. It's a circle. And they think, well, I'm doing it. No, Satan just takes them captive at his will. When he gets ready. Now, I want to ask a question. How many have ever been there? I'm going to say, that was me. That was me. Many a times I made a promise. Many times I made a pledge. Many times I made a commitment. Many times I said, this time I'm going to make it. And at his will, he laughed. At Satan's will, he took you captive. I begin to think about that. We're going to turn all the way back to Exodus, the 14th chapter. It's the story of the children of Israel. They've been slaves in Egypt for much, not all, but much of the last 400 years. In cruel bondage. You know the story. God hears their cry. He raises up a man named Moses. And Moses has to flee Egypt for 40 years. So I want you to catch this. What God, is God sure what he's doing? He raises up an 80-year-old man. You ever thought of that? God raised up a has-been. Is it all right for me to say that? God raised up a has-been. I'm sure that's what Moses thought. Don't you listen to me. I'm sure that's what Moses... How many of you ever thought my time's over? So God calls an 80-year-old man. And he says, Moses, your time's not over. Your time's just begun. And he calls an 80-year-old man and he sends him to Pharaoh. And to say, let my people go. You know the story, hardness of Pharaoh's heart, the plagues upon Egypt, until the day that they put the blood on the doorpost and they eat the lamb, the Passover, and the death angel passes upon Egypt and all that didn't have the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn were slain. If they were the first child of family, didn't matter how young, how ancient they were, if they were the firstborn child, they were slain that night. And we sing the song, "When I See the Blood," and people talk about the blood, but you could always know this that night. That if the blood was on the doorpost, you knew what they were doing inside. Someone tell me. They were eating the lamb. Amen. If the blood was on the doorpost, we could preach right there, Brother Mooney. If the blood was on the doorpost, inside they were eating the lamb. The cry went up in Egypt, the firstborn slain, and Pharaoh said, "Get out of here. You're bringing death to us." And so he told a slave people to leave. Just get out. Get your stuff. Get out of my land. And so that great multitude of people took their possessions and began to march out of Egypt. And I don't know how many days it was. They marched till they got to the Red Sea. By this time, Pharaoh's changed his mind. He's come to himself. You know, yesterday he said, "You can go. Get out." But now he's changed his mind. And he says, "What have I done? What have I done? These people, they make my bricks. They build my treasure cities. I've let them go." And now his will has changed. And his will is to come and take them captive again. Take them captive at his will. And so Pharaoh gathers his armies and he gathers his chariots and he begins to race toward the slave people that are leaving Egypt. And here I want to read here in the 14th chapter of Exodus at the 9th verse. I'm going to read here. "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Hathroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them." I want to tell you, this is the greatest nation on the face of the earth in that day. This is the greatest army upon the face of the earth that day, at chasing a slave people. And the slave people is many in numbers, but they're not warriors, and they don't have the instruments of war, and they don't have the training of war. They're just people that have been beaten down all their life, hearing the call to a promised land and seeing the hand of God to deliver them. But they're just a slave people. And the when they lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, they were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. But I want you to see this. They were sore afraid. They were out of slavery already. They had been delivered from slavery. But they were afraid. They were afraid because they could see Pharaoh's army. And it's here, his chariots and his horses thunder toward them. And know that he had changed his mind. He was not going to let them go. He was going to bring them back into slavery. And it would be with great wrath. And it would be with death. And they were so afraid. But they did something well. The Scripture says that they cried out unto the Lord. And I want to tell you, I heard someone say this so many years ago, it doesn't matter if you've been serving God for 60 years or you've been serving God for 6 days. If you get in trouble, don't run from God, run to God. If you make a mess, don't run from the Lord, but run to the Lord. And they're sore afraid and they cry out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth?" And 13th verse, "Moses said to the people, 'Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to tell you something. Their salvation, they hadn't seen it all yet. They hadn't seen it all yet. And I want to tell this people in this place, I'm going to tell you, and preaching this gospel, I hadn't seen it all yet. And I want to tell you, that which I've seen, I rejoice in, and my heart overflows. But there's a height and a depth and a length and a breadth of the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And I want to know that, that passes knowledge, and I want to search it out. But they hadn't seen all the salvation of the Lord yet. And they said, He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you see this day, you shall see them again no more ever. And I want that to hit you. And this great army, this great power that they're afraid of, whose will it is to take them captive again, He said, you stand still, and I'm going to show you something, and you take note, because you will see them no more again ever. Hallelujah! The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You're not going to do it. That's how I know when someone says, I'm going to make it this time, they're not going to make it. That's how I know that, because they haven't seen the salvation of the Lord. And He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore thou criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will follow. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and all the host, upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Not only will Israel know that I am the Lord, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I've gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. 21st verse, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and God, the Lord, caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and they made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall on their right and on their left. And the Israels pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, and they're running. And I want to tell you, if I was with them, I believe I would be running. And they're fleeing. And then you say, are they crazy? And there's a wall of water on both sides. And are they out of their mind? There's horses and chariots behind me. I'm going. And I'm going. And they're fleeing through. But the chariots don't stop. The horses don't stop, and they're following them through. They're pushing onward. And I'm sure they're saying, wait a minute, I thought this was a good plan. I don't know what God up to. I don't think He thought this through. I think He thought it through just perfectly. And Pharaoh's chasing them, and his armies are chasing. It's his will. It's the devil's will to bring them into captivity. The Scripture says that they pursued them as chariots, as horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and the troubled hopes of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels. They don't go so fast anymore. They don't go so fast anymore. Now they're dragging in the mud of the Red Sea. They're dragging. And so He took off their chariot wheels. And they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Now they're the ones in the middle of the wall of water. They're ones, and the wheels start falling off their chariots. Someone smart enough to say, uh-oh, I don't think this is good. Don't think this is going to work out well today. But the Scripture says, the Lord said unto Moses,
Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand upon the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. And when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overflew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned. You know the story. Covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as how many? Not even one of them. What had God said? You see. You look, because you're never going to see them again. You look. You behold this great army. You behold this great power. You behold Pharaoh's might that come against you. You look one more time, because you're never going to see them again. And the Scripture says that they were destroyed. There remained not so much as one of them. No one made it out. No one got washed over and swam out. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand, on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea shore. And it's not a pretty picture, but they saw the bodies washed up. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. I want you to see this. When we started reading, who were they fearing? They were fearing the Egyptians. They were sore afraid of what the Egyptians going to do. And Moses tell them, and you mind if I add my words as we bring this into the gospel of Christ this morning, you hadn't seen all of God's salvation. You're fearing the wrong one. You hadn't seen all of God's salvation. You hadn't seen the salvation of God yet, but you just watch. And you take a note of what you see today, because you will see them no more at all. And so when Egypt pursues them in, and the waters crash upon them, and the chariots are broken into pieces, and the horses are swept away, and the bodies are washed upon the seashore, and a mighty army has been destroyed. And I want you to understand that. And you see the evidence of its destruction. You see the soldiers washing up on the beaches. And I'm sure you see the carcasses of the animals. And I'm sure you see bits and pieces of chariots and armor and swords and spears and scattered everywhere. And as this great army has been destroyed. Well, I want to read, I believe it's the next verse, but it's the 15th chapter. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed. Who has triumphed? The Lord. They're not seeing, look what we have done. We jumped over the wall. We climbed through the window. We thrust with the sword. They're not singing that. What are they singing? And look what the Lord has done. He has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider. And I want you to catch this right here. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And I want you to see that. You know where the horse and the rider were. It's Pharaoh's army, Pharaoh's chariots. But I began to hear those words resurface all through service. Those words I kept hearing. The horse and the rider. And then all the way driving home last night. Wiped out, tired. Now I'm hearing the horse and the rider. Has he thrown into the sea? The horse and the rider. Has he thrown under the sea? And I understood what the Lord was speaking to me. This was not the story of Pharaoh. This was not the story of Egypt. This was not the story of that great power that chased the children of Israel. But this was the story of the horse and the rider that entered the world. And this was the story of that sin that entered the world through one man's transgression. And upon the back of that sin, one called Lucifer that rode into dominion, that rode into power and over humanity, over the souls of men, over the hearts of mankind, the horse and the rider, and sin entering the hearts of every man and bringing chaos and riding upon him. I want to tell you, Satan had no dominion of his own, but riding upon this wave of sin, he became the God of this world and ruled over the hearts of man and brought them into captivity at his will and became the great feared one. The scripture says that cast down nations and kings, that would not release, open his prison gates, that would not release his captives. He was the rider. Just go with me and what I was hearing in my spirit last night, riding upon this great power of darkness that we called sin, that gave him place in the heart of every person. In so much that all were subject to his will. We were his slaves. We were under his dominion. We were under his power. What started this was actually a couple of months ago when I was in West Virginia and I was speaking to a man after service, and he came to me, two men, and they were, I told you about it. One, I heard them say that you said you was going to ask him. So ask him. And they began to ask me about the things I'd preached about freedom from sin and having a conscience purged and from a heart purged from a sinful conscience, not having a sinful heart, not having a sinful nature, and then it being taken away. They said, I've never heard such a thing. No one's ever told me that I could be free. And I began to talk Scripture, and I quoted the Scripture, the words of Zechariah. And he said, blessed be the God of our fathers. He's remembered his covenant. He's redeemed his people. That his promise that he would deliver us from the hand of our enemy, and from all those that hate us, that we might being delivered, might serve him without fear all the days of our life. Who's he talking about not fearing? Your enemy, the horse and the rider, the power of darkness, the work of Satan, his work, his dominion, his thoughts, his plans, that you would not fear him at all, that you could serve God in righteousness and holiness. Oh, I want you to hear me. That little word is such an important word. It comes up over all. Amen. Most is not good enough. Listen to me. Most is not good enough. You say, but most of yesterday, and I was a mess. I'm not talking about yesterday. I'm talking about what God has set before you. And most is not good enough. But He said, all. Someone say all. All the days of your life. Hallelujah. You can serve Him, not enduring, not putting up, not fighting your way through, not hanging on by a thread, not barely making it, but serve Him without fear all the days of your life. Praise the Lord. And Moses sings that. He says, the horse and the rider, he, God, has cast into the sea. It's two gospel verses I want to touch on. Maybe slow down a little bit, maybe not. Touch on a little bit. One of them you know so well, Romans 6:6. Because God destroyed an army that day. And in doing so, He destroyed the power of Pharaoh. That Pharaoh was completely impotent, powerless, to do anything about this slave people leaving. Whatever happens to this slave people from that day forward, it's not because of the power of Pharaoh. Scripture says this, and I want to talk about the horse. Sin, by one man, sin entered the world, gained such power, wrought such destruction. I want to tell you, it rules over people and church house, equally upon people in the world. I didn't say it rules over the children of God. I said it rules in the church house. And this great promise of our Redeemer and what He has done, you know it so well. Paul says, knowing this. How many, when you're out and about, hear this scripture? I'm talking about if you're visiting other churches, other places, turning on your favorite radio, television preacher, and you hear, knowing this. That's not what you hear. You say, well, you weren't there. Okay, am I right? I'm going to tell you what the shame is, that mostly what you hear, that knowing this, that we're all sinners. That's what you hear. That's what Paul knew. And he's not that what said you need to know. Knowing this, what? That our old man, that's the person you were. How many remember the person you were? You like him a whole lot? Our old man is crucified with Christ. That's why our Savior hung on that cross. If you heard this 100 times, well, this morning's 101. That's why your Savior hung upon that cross. That thee, that your body of sin, the entirety. See, that Egyptian army was destroyed, every one. He said, you will no more see them, what? At all. And it was destroyed. And I want you to hear me on this. That the whole, and that's the body. This is a finger. This is a hand. This is an arm. But the body, this is not the body. The body is the whole. But the whole thing, the whole thing, someone say the whole thing, the whole thing might be destroyed. There's a lot of religious teachers that from that word destroyed, they don't like destroyed. So they try to pervert it. And they pervert it this way. If you look it up, it means to render idle, and you search it out or break it down into its basic parts. So here's what people try to do with that, and it's a perversion of the Scripture. They try to say, well, you still got a sin nature. He's just idle. I won't tell you what he's saying, and destroyed it. It means what it said, it's destroyed. There are bodies laying on the beach of those Red Sea. There are chariot wheels broken off. There are swords and spears, the remnants of an army scattered everywhere, broken down into their parts. It's carcasses. It's bodies. It's ruin. It's remnants. It's the remains. And it's not in the promised land. It's on the banks of the Red Sea. It is destroyed. You say, but there's a whole army there. Yeah, if you were going to put the chance together, it'd take you 1,000 years and a whole lot of super glue. It's destroyed. And that's what that word is. That body of sin. And it's not, well, it's all the pieces. It's scattered out. It's in my mind. It's in my thoughts. It's on a cross and in a tomb. It's on a cross. It's destroyed. Hey, that's why it was impaled. It was crucified. It was nailed until it was nothing but a carcass and placed in a tomb. It's destroyed. The horse has he thrown into the sea. That he says this, that from henceforth you would not serve sin at all. Why? Because take a look, because you're not going to see this army anymore. Take a look. Some of you need to take a look. Some of you love the Lord. Some of you have been born again of the Spirit of God. Some of you have been struggling alone. But you need to stand up and take a look. Take a look at what you've been fearing. Take a look at what you've been troubled about. Take a look at what you're afraid of. And believe God. And take a look and know that you shall see this army no more. Hallelujah. And the horse and the rider. And the rider. Hebrews 2. You know the passage. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Why did he become flesh? That through death he might what? Destroy. Same word. Well, he's still alive. Yeah, Pharaoh's. I don't believe that Pharaoh was in the sea. But Pharaoh was destroyed. Pharaoh was destroyed. The mightiest human being on the face of the earth is now the greatest laughing stock on the face of the earth. His might and his power, his dominion has been stripped and will never return. He said this, he himself took part of the same, part of flesh and blood. This is why he became flesh and blood. That through death, he might what? Destroy him that had the power of death. Oh, let's be clear. That is who? The devil. The horse and the rider. He has thrown into the sea. He has destroyed them so that you might go free. But there are those, and maybe some of you need to stand and see. You've not seen. See, it was important. It was important that Israel saw that Egyptian army follow them into the Red Sea.
It was important that they saw the wheels fall off the chariots. It was important that they saw the carcasses upon the beaches and the wrecked remnants of an army washing up. Why? Because if they had not seen that, they would have lived in fear. Lived in fear. Any day, Mark, we're going to see a dust cloud. And we know Pharaoh's going to change his mind. And any day, we're going to see a dust cloud, and it's going to be his army. But they don't fear Pharaoh anymore. One more verse of Scripture this morning. I want to go Book of Revelation, 15th chapter. Second, third, maybe fourth verse. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. It's a different sea. And them that had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So he sees another sea. I want you to see in your mind, what was this? 3,500 years ago, Moses and Israel standing on the other side of the Red Sea in awe. Can you imagine that? In awe of what has just happened. Are you still in awe? I'm going to tell you, I'm still in awe. And Moses begins to sing. I will sing under the Lord of His greatness and His power. And I don't know the exact words. He says, the horse and the rider has He thrown into the sea. Well, I want you to see now there's another people standing on the shore of a great sea. And it's a sea of glass. And they've gotten victory over the beast, over the image, over his mark, over the number of his name. And you say, I hear all this stuff in Revelation. It strikes fear to my heart. Why should it strike fear to your heart? Revelation is the victory of the Lamb. And thanks be to God which gives us the victory. But they stand there and they sing the song of Moses. And it's not the song at the end of Moses' life. It's the song of Moses. They're standing on a sea for us 3,500 years ago and singing of the deliverance of the Lord. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. And for thy judgments are made manifest. And I want to tell you, there will be another day, and yet there is another day. There will be another day that we stand there with Christ in absolute victory. And yet, the closest comparison is Moses. It's Moses standing there, has been 80 years of age, and standing there with a great multitude about him and seeing the mightiest army
Praise the Lord. And there will be another day. But I want to tell you, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that we stand in awe. What was it that oppressed you? What was it that troubled you? What was it that took you captive? What was it that would not release you? What was it that would not let you go? Can you see the salvation of the Lord? The horse and the rider He has thrown into the sea. Let the saints of God rejoice. I remember, sure this was 25 years ago, Brother Service was preaching at Romans 6. And he said, you need to see your old man crucified. How many see that? You see that. I'm not talking about trying to get an apparition or a vision or a thing. I'm talking about, you see that. Someone says, it can't be. Don't tell me it can't be. I see it. My old man is crucified. Do you see that? And he said, you need to see that. You need to see yourself crucified with Christ, and you need to see yourself risen with Christ. And Sister Joyce told Brother Surface, said, Brother Surface, I see myself crucified, but I can't see myself risen. See, there's more you need to see. There's more you need to see that. You need to see that so that you can rest. And that was 25 years ago. I know Sister Joyce sees herself risen with Christ. But you need to see the salvation of the Lord. And you need to know, and seeing you will know, and that you need not fear. You need not fear. Neither Satan, nor sin, nor what anybody thinks its power to be. And I told you 2 or 3 weeks ago, Israel, if they decided they're going to cross that Red Sea again, they better get afraid. Because I promise you, he has enough soldiers left on his side to make slaves of them again. But he doesn't have any power to come to where they are. Amen. He doesn't have any power to come to where they are. You abide in Christ. Praise the Lord. How many see that the horse has been thrown into the sea? You see that? Stand at your feet. You see that. How many see that the rider, that old accuser, devil, the serpent that rode in on the back of transgression, on the back of sin, that the rider has been cast into the sea. You see that? Someone lift up their voice. Lift up their voice and declare the works of the Lord. I will sing of His mighty works. I will tell of His excellent greatness. Who is there like unto my Redeemer? Who is there like unto my Savior? I was but a slave man. At His will, Satan took me captive. All my thoughts came to nothing. All my promises failed me. All my intentions only paved my way to hell. But who is like unto my Savior? Who is like unto my Lord? Who could come with such mercy and such power and such grace, so mighty to save, so mighty to redeem, so mighty to deliver, that could deliver a slave from the power that he feared most? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I lift up my voice with Moses and sing of the greatness of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Lord, with my voice, I will praise you in the midst of the congregation. I will tell of your excellent greatness. I will tell of your mighty words. Oh, Jesus. Let's begin to step out of our seats. Oh, Jesus. You say this is not a great sea. Yeah, but you're standing by a great sea. A great sea of witnesses of all ages, and that have come through the fire and the storm by the blood of the Lamb.
The power of sin and death, and He gave you life.
Oh, yes.
I will see.
Oh, yes, Lord. What a Savior. Who could do as He has done? Who could bring such life and peace? Who could cast out all fear? Oh, Jesus.
The power of sin and death, that He gave you life to me. I will sing.
Let us sing.
I will rejoice.
Oh, saints, rejoice.
I will lift up my hands.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Lord.
He gave me robes of righteousness, exchanged my filthy rags. Garments of salvation, yes, He
oh, Jesus. Can you see the carcass of that thing that once held you captive? Can you see its carcass? Look one last time. One last time. Look upon the carcass of that thing that held you captive. That's why they have funerals. And so you can see that that one is gone. Look upon the carcass one last time. Let it be settled. No, He is destroyed. And then stand up and walk into the promised land of Christ. Walk into the goodness of Christ, fearing no more. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. How many years did I fear? When is the old me coming back? When is the old life coming back? When is this thing going to wear? He's not coming back. He said, don't get proud. I'm not proud. I've seen what the Lord has done. He's not coming back, and I'm not crossing over to Him. Yes. Yes. Lord, can you see that carcass? The will of Satan is irrelevant. Amen. You say, but Satan wants to. So what? But he says he will do this. So what? Let Pharaoh stand on the far bank of the Red Sea and scream all he wants to. Oh, Lord.